To the end, I believe, of Ephesians. I don't know how many more there is this, but we're going to again be looking at our spiritual warfare, our warfare in the heavenlies. Just to remind us, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And that's those verses there is what I want to concentrate on, verses 10 to 12. And then he goes further into detail with the different aspects of the armour. Praise God. So, it's in the strength of the Lord. It's in the power of his might. Praise God. That mustard seed of faith will enable us, as we stand in him, our faith in the blood, as we remain faithful in this, we will overcome the enemy in the power of his might. And it's as we put on the whole armour of God, we are able to stand. It's an interesting phrase there, isn't it? Against the wiles of the devil. Notice he didn't say against the power, but the wiles of the devil. And we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The things that happen on planet Earth, yes, man is responsible, but ultimately our enemy is not man, but the powers of darkness, the principalities, the powers, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so let's look at some of this. God, we're going to start with Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, praise God. Colossians chapter 2. And, right, let's start with verse 11 then to get the context. In him you were also, so Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were buried with him through the faith and working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. So, it is a moral issue. We have a spiritual warfare played out in a moral way. Praise God. So no one can stand before God and say, the devil made me do it. What happens? We bow the knee and we repent of our sins. Now we see here that we've been forgiven those sins because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And what he did at Calvary, he didn't just forgive our sins. We know also in the atonement he provided healing. But look what he did at Calvary. He disarmed principalities and powers. And the things that we see around us now, things happening. There's a cup call to the body of Christ to get ready, if we haven't already, to be prepared, because it's going to get worse. The powers of heaven are being shaken. God is in control. There's no need to fear or panic. God is in total control. But the heavens are being shaken. This is nothing new to us. God has said he will not only shake earth only, but also heavens. And prior, let's look at Matthew 24, just prior to the Lord's return. Matthew 24. And verse 29. Matthew 24 and verse 29, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, where is all this taking place? It's in the heavenlies. It's in the heavens. This is our faith. This is our warfare. Putting those two scriptures together, we are being prepared. There doesn't seem to be a lot happening, does there, in our lives and in our ministries? Trials, we go from day to day. Dear friends, I trust we're using this time as an opportunity to prepare for what's coming. Those five wise virgins getting that extra oil, because God is his plan is being executed, his plan is being put into action. Things are going to get worse. And this is an opportunity, as we bow the knee before God, you know, if things are being exposed in our lives, it's so that God can deliver us from them. We repent of them. We seek God, because as things get worse, as that demonic, as the flood, you know, as it increases, as that demonic outpouring, if you like, the fallout gets worse on planet Earth, as society gets worse, as the darkness increases, this is a time in this end time where the sons of God will come forth, the fullness, those of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the enemy. It's all coming to fruition. Praise God. Now, what we just read there in Matthew was to do with the second half of tribulation, but it's leading up to that point. We're being prepared now, that warfare in the heavenlies. Now, Antichrist will not be revealed till the overcomers are taken up. Till the overcomers have been caught away, then great tribulation. The first 3.5 will be false peace, a time of deception. And then midway, Antichrist will be revealed, will reveal for who he is. And then comes the second half, that great tribulation, that utter destruction. Let's turn there again. We'll give some scriptures and then put them all together in Revelation chapter 12. But I can't stress enough the importance of this time of preparation. Preparation in the Word, prayer in the Spirit, and submitting to the hand of God through the trials that we're going through, through overcoming in our temptations. These are all preparing us for the greater events that are to come. So, Revelation chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. Revelation chapter 12, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his heads. He His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying to in heaven, notice where it's coming from, in heaven, now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 13 we see the rise of Antichrist. So here we have these momentous events in the end time taking place in the Father's time, in his sovereign time, but it all begins to come to a head after we're caught away, after the man-child has been caught up, and we're being prepared for this event. Let me just read one more scripture and we'll put these things together. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 9, says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And here's the key, here's the central issue that we're going to look at, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by or through the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see, through our endurance, we're preparing now because God is getting ready. He's now looking to the kingdom. The church age is coming to an end, and we're now to be kingdom minded, seeking the kingdom, looking to the kingdom. And it's through the church that the principalities, the power of God, is going to be made known to the principalities and powers. The things that are happening, the world is in shock, is in mourning, all getting together, aren't they? This is an opportunity for the ecumenical movement. You know, we've had enough, enough is enough, all we want now is peace. But dear friends, it's going to get worse. These are just signs to us, I believe, to get ready to intensify our preparation, to turn our eyes away from this world, the things that we're going through, the things our neighbours are going through, and to begin to look up, to call upon, to learn how to, where to get our grace from, to call upon the power and the might of the Lord in what we're going through. Because we don't know, we don't understand these things. We get a glimpse from what we've just read, but unless we're getting that revelation, unless we're preserved, unless we have that understanding of His preservation, of His presence, and that He's speaking to us, He's revealing these things to us, we have no chance. It's not what we call ourselves, dear friends. It's not the fact that we're listening to this message or think we're part of FGA or whatever it would be. Each one of us is to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling and take that time each day in preparation, bowed knee, spending that time hearing from God. Now, in the past, I've mentioned things about quiet time or daily readings, and I've got nothing against those things in themselves, but what I've tried to communicate is that if there's a certain we have to be careful of that mentality. Well, I've done my half hour today, I've read my couple of chapters, I've done my quiet time, praise the Lord, off we go. We're going to have to hit up a notch. This is not communion with God. The reason we have that quiet time, the reason we meditate in the Word, is to meet with our God, is to know that I have met with God today, I have His presence in my life, I'm secure in His presence, and I know I am persevering because He is preserving me. I know what I know because God has revealed it to me. I'm withstanding in this time by His strength, not by might nor by power, but by His strength. I'm not doing a religious thing and calling it God's will, but God's will is being personally revealed to me, and by His grace, as I yield to the Spirit, I'm walking in that. Do you see the difference? It's about meeting with God. And He will reveal all hindrances. He's getting rid of any area in our lives that Satan could legally have a hold on, basically sin. So at the end of the day, it is a moral issue. Yes, it's supernatural, God's grace, and these things are spiritual. But you know, dear friends, God is using what we go through on a daily basis, our moral struggles, to teach us spiritual warfare. It's not a question of willpower, but God is strengthening our will by faith because He's putting those godly affections within our hearts. I keep saying, and I'll keep saying it, as the love of God grows in our hearts, the will to sin dies. When we look in Galatians 5, we see the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, and there's a whole list there, isn't there, of all the different works of the flesh. But demons, demons work through that. It mentions witchcraft and sorceries, because it's not flesh as in body, the physical body, but the ethical, moral understanding of the flesh. This is what flesh does. It yields itself over to those demons. And when God has closed all the doors in our lives, you know, when a person is oppressed by demons, did you know the demon needs to leave as well as to enter that person? And that's the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper keeps that door open, so those demons, those wicked spirits come and go as they please, because there's an open door. And that host, the human host, and sadly sometimes it's Christians, when that person is asleep, that demon goes out and wreaks havoc. And we're going to see in this end time, as God closes those doors and the fruit of the Spirit is consistently manifesting in our lives. We're not talking about absolute sinless, but a consistent manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, the doors closed, those doorkeepers bound and removed in the name of Jesus. We're going to see things in the world change. Things are in the natural going to get worse in one respect, but we're going to see, praise God, as the time draws near, we're going to see the difference between light and dark. I know we think we're seeing it at the moment, but it's going to be so much clearer. Not so much for our sake, because God is giving us that discernment, but the world is going to see the difference. And isn't it an amazing statement from heaven that when Satan was cast out, what did they say? Now is salvation and the power of our God. We've been waiting and, you know, where's my ministry and what am I doing? But friends, the evangelism that is going to take place at that time, friends, we've seen nothing yet. The fullness of our ministry, the fullness of the power of God through the Christian church is awaiting right time, the Father's time. And so bit by bit, the powers of darkness, the powers of heaven are being loosened. And it's to get our attention, it's to get us on our knees, to get us away from self, to seeking God. Because as things get worse, things will get better in our life personally, but our circumstances are going to get worse. The world situation is going to get worse. And we have got to learn the limit, yes, the limit, the confines of our authority. What is our authority? What is the limits of our authority? And it's a strange word to use, isn't it? Limit. But think about what we're saying here. The own limit of our authority is the revealed will of God. God will reveal what we can and can't do in this end time. And we can't actually, for example, we know we've just read that Antichrist will appear. We can't bind that and stop that happening. But our authority at the moment is for the preservation of a remnant. A remnant is what is left behind after judgment, after a catastrophe. And our authority at the moment is for the preservation of a remnant. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to bind and loose those demons that are afflicting the remnant. There are some things that we can prevent, there are some things we can't. Now, during the Second World War, God raised up a man by the name of Rhys Howells who prevented certain things happening during the war. There was a 1,000 bomber raid, and he and his church got to prayer, and it was prevented. Hitler's plan was thwarted to that extent. So God has to raise up specific ministries and anointings, and he will reveal to them what they can and can't do in the spiritual realm. But at the moment, we have that authority, we have that anointing, we have that placed upon us to bind and loose. Jesus gave to Peter the keys of the kingdom. He said that in Matthew 16. Let's have a look at that. In Matthew 16. Praise God. And so by giving the keys to the kingdom, that authority to Peter, the apostle, he's given it to the church as well. Matthew chapter 16, because Jesus, Peter said to the Lord, you know, he made that great confession, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus in verse 17, chapter 16 of Matthew in verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of darkness, shall not prevail against it. The gates, the power of death, Hades represents death, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And one of the first ways in which he used those keys, do you remember, was Ananias and Sapphira. By getting that word of knowledge about their lying, they dropped down dead. So for them, the keys of the kingdom, the gates of the kingdom of heaven were firmly shut, weren't they? So it's on that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, that is the rock upon which he will build his called out ones, his ecclesia, and he is giving us those keys to bind, to loose. We can bind and loose sickness, can't we? We can bind the sickness and we loose the individual from that sickness. Jesus, do you remember when he prayed for that woman, I think it's in Luke 18, but he prayed for that woman who was bent over. He loosed her from that infirmity. Right? The individual is loosed from their infirmity. The actual spirit causing the sickness is bound. And so we're learning by these things where our authority, the extent of our authority. Poverty is a curse. Have you loosed finances to yourself? Have you bound those sins and those spirits of poverty? We're told that as we seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to us. Friends, we're being prepared also for persecution. Because we're going to be the ones, yes, we want peace. The ecumenical movement wants peace. We want peace. But not on their terms. We want it on the Lord's terms. And we're going to be branded the extremists. We're going to be branded the ones that are spoiling the party. But we need to be prepared for warfare. Yes, forgive, Father, forgive them. But we can bind those spirits. We can loose that revelation. God, open their eyes. Some of those coming against us, God forgive them. But as we bind and loose also, as we learn to war in the spirit, God will open their eyes. Look at what happened to Saul of Tarsus. The greatest persecutor of the early church became, the greatest leader. We'll use those terms just to make a point. But look what happened to Saul of Tarsus when God met him, when the Lord met him. He became Paul. And we're going to be seeing these things restored in the end time. So we need to be ready. Our supernatural foe, these shakings that are going on in the heavenlies, will impact on planet Earth. Are the overcomers ready? Because Paul said in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now it's an interesting thing that God will use those that he has ordained. There is an earthly authority, the government, the military, the police, the emergency services, whatever, okay, they have declared war, basically, haven't they, on what's going on at the moment. And in judgment, God uses those that he's ordained to execute that, to bring that about. But really, it's our warfare that's enabling that. It's our warfare that's cleansing the heavens, that's preparing the way for the Lord to catch us away. We're being prepared for the kingdom. And if you think about the difference between the millennial kingdom and the warfare that's going on now on planet Earth, okay? So we're warring in the heavenlies and we're binding, we're loosing, God's showing us, and we're praying in the Spirit. But during the millennium, there'll be none of that. There'll be direct, it'll be a direct rulership. The Lord Jesus Christ ruling from Jerusalem on planet Earth by the direct authority and anointing and presence of God through him, and through you and I. That perfect, millennial, earthly, visible rule and reign of Christ and his righteousness on planet Earth. Direct access to heaven on Earth during the millennium. Praise God, because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. So in our warfare, let's be heavenly minded, let's be kingdom minded, let's think, dear friends, you know, in terms of what is going on in the heavenlies. God is shaking the heavens. Just enough in his time and in his way, to the extent that he's preparing us. But there's going to come a time when there's fullness, a deluge, a flood, a spiritual flood in this end time. And God is warning us. So what we're getting at the moment are the drops, aren't we? We're getting the drops. We, you know, the clouds are there. The clouds are blackening and the drops are coming. But that is nothing to what will occur. And so this time, friends, if we're seeing or hearing anything, beloved, let this be a time of preparation, because so many have a spiritual slumber. They're asleep. My trials previously, it hasn't worked before. It's not going to work now. Just leave me alone. I just want to go to bed. I just want to roll over in my duvet. I can't face the day. You know, you've switched off, and that's so dangerous. Now, what's the answer to that? Well, Paul, again, we looked earlier in Ephesians, wake thou that sleepest. Put on, you know, the armour of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can sustain us in this. Yes, it might not have worked before, but God is rooting out fear. He's rooting out unbelief. You cannot base your experience today on what either another person has gone through or what you went through yesterday. Work out your own salvation today with fear and trembling. Each day is a new day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Know the trial you're going through, you cannot overcome in your own strength. It is impossible. But begin to prepare for that. No, you don't. If you don't want to throw your medicine away, if you don't want to do what you think at the moment is foolish, but don't just sit back and let the medicine take care of you. Begin now your warfare on knees. Acknowledge before God, Lord, this trial that I'm going through, I cannot do it in my own strength. I daren't throw away the medicine. I daren't stop what I'm doing at the moment. I'm not in that place of faith. But I know that is not your perfect will for me. I know that's not what you're saying over my life. I now consecrate this time of prayer to build myself up in the faith, to prepare to be able, by your grace, to walk in faith for this. Do you see what we're saying for this? Do you understand this? The only way this word is ever going to benefit you is when you take it before God and prepare. This time of prayer is preparation for a word ministry. You're going to speak that word, the sword of the Spirit. You're going to speak God's word, and the powers of darkness will flee. We're not there yet, but this is what we're coming to. Beloved, I'm just going to keep repeating this, because some have fallen asleep. Some of you have fallen asleep. You've had enough. You can't do it, so you're not doing anything. There are things I'm facing that I cannot do in my own strength, but I've not given up. I'm in prayer, preparing. I've acknowledged that at the moment it's beyond my faith. But I'm not going to give in. I'm spending that time, Lord, this time I'm, you know, I want to meet with you. Whatever the words I use. But we build up ourselves. Amen. We build up ourselves in prayer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But faith is strengthened and increased by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. We build ourselves up, we edify ourselves. And as we spend that time each day in prayer, praying in the Spirit, waiting on God, we build up that faith so that soon you'll be able to speak that word. You'll be able to act your faith. You'll be able to resist the temptation. You won't need the arm of the flesh. And you'll know, there'll come a time when you'll just know and you'll walk in that faith, that consecration, that anointing. But are you spending that time in prayer? Because things are relatively easy now. Man is still in control, isn't it? Let's say, for example, they'll send the SAS out to the Middle East to root out ISIS. Let's just say, for an example, that they'll, you know, they've declared war, they're going to go ahead and do it. And there's a huge police presence, isn't there, in reaction to what's happening. And as far as they're showing, as far as the politicians are showing the public, there seems to be, look guys, vote for me, we're in control, we'll protect you from the bogeyman. But behind the scenes, more and more, man is losing control. Only those in faith are going to be able to stand in this end time. Because it's a supernatural foe. Their guns and their bullets and their plans and their schemes are just not going to cut it. And it's you and I, friends, standing in that heavenly armor where we'll defeat the wiles of the devil. He's deceiving. He's deceiving millions. He's blinding millions so that these things, they think nothing's going to happen. No, it's carrying on as before. Okay, there's a bit of a rumor and a war here and a war there, but basically we're safe. Everything's going to carry on as before. What are you making all this fuss about? Our friends, don't fall for that one. Do not think that just because you're able today to overcome what God has for you, that that will be enough, right? So today's faith, yes, let yesterday go because it's gone, and tomorrow will take care of itself. As long as today you're using that faith to prepare, because you know things are going to get worse. And as we continue to look heavenward, as we continue to look to the Lord, he will continue to prepare us. We need to be ready for his soon appearing, because we're going to be caught away. And then that's when Satan finally will be cast out from the heavens to earth. His sphere of influence at the moment in the heavenlies will be directly on earth, and that's when that man Antichrist, empowered and possessed by Satan, will then have that 7-year rule, at the end of which he'll be destroyed by the Lord and by the overcomers, because the Lord will return with the overcomers to set up his kingdom. And this is what we're being prepared for. Praise God. This is how vision is to be. So in this time of restoration, it's also a time of preparation. Satan is not careless. He's doing everything he needs to do to fulfill his plan. Jesus in control, praise God, he's the Lord. He's doing all he needs to do to bring about the fulfillment of his kingdom, which will ultimately triumph. But dear friends, are you and I... yes, we're to rest in the Lord, but don't confuse the message at the moment. Are you and I doing all that we know to do in preparation for these great events? Because if we can't stand through the trials we're going through now, how will we stand when it all breaks loose? How are we going to? In reality, let's be real. Though let's have a faith fantasy, Let's acknowledge the seriousness of the situation, and then God will preserve us in that. So friends, these are serious times, these are perilous times. There's deception at every hand, and we don't know how long we've got on planet Earth. I do hope, beloved, that you're not planning a future. I seriously hope you're not planning a long-term future on planet Earth. Each day, this day could be the day that the Lord returns. This day could be the day that my healing manifests. Do you understand? But what we have today, you cannot guarantee that it will be enough for next week, or if the Lord tarries next year. That's the wisdom of the wise virgins. So yes, praise God, today's faith. All I know is today's faith. But in today's faith, part of that is preparing for what we know is coming on planet Earth. Do you understand the relationship there? It's prayer life. It's getting before God, acknowledging these things and preparing. 90% in prayer, the other 10% in the Word, meditating in what God is saying, what God is revealing. The only limit to our authority is God's revealed will. And let Him reveal, let Him unfold day by day, step by step, what His will is in any given situation. Praise God. Now, when we war against the principality of Islam, we're praying for the remnant that is currently in that system. And we're going to see Muslims being saved. Do you understand? We're not going to, we don't fight them with sword and gun and bullet. That's not the sort of Christian soldiers we are. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is the lie that has been implanted in the hearts and minds of the person. So when we pull down those strongholds, we remove the lie that has been established in that person's heart and mind. And that's our authority. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to do that. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians 10. You see, we're looking at the I use the word limit, but you know what I mean. Because there are some things that God says, you know, they're going to happen. It doesn't matter how much I pray and fast, it's going to happen. 2 Corinthians 10. Praise God. I'll start with verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness, gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold without confidence, by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So you see, they think, oh, well, that's Paul, you know. They looked at his bodily appearance. He was a meek man like Moses, you know, very gentle, very meek. And they were sort of thinking, well, you know, I'm intelligent, I've got this intellect, I've got this education. And this man, you know, look how base he is. But boy, when he opened his mouth, did they get a shock. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And these are the keys that Jesus gave Peter as well, the binding and loosing. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. So no more judging by the outward appearance. And you notice here that he's saying to punish disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. When we're walking in the light that God has given us, we will be pulling down not only the strongholds that Satan, that we've allowed Satan to establish in our own hearts and minds, our own thinking. You see, fear and belief, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the arguments and the high things that exalt themselves against knowledge. So when if we're afraid and if we're riddled with unbelief, that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. You know, God's word says believe, unbelief says no, I don't want to believe. God's word says step out, fear says no, I don't want to step out. Do you see what we're saying? So this warfare first has to be accomplished in our own life. This victory has to be seen in our own life. Those fears, that unbelief, that pride, all those high things, those thoughts that come against the revelation of God, all those things are cast down. And then we can be used, and we're beginning to be used now, aren't we, to pull down those self-same strongholds in others' lives. The false religion notion. You know, the religious notions, not only of Islam, but of Christianity, of denominational Christianity. You know, this is what we're coming against. This is what we war in the spirit against. Praise God, and the spirit knows how to war. And so those keys that we've been given, what do? They open or they lock. Now, the remnant, praise God, we open it, don't we? We open the gates of heaven using the keys God has given us for the remnant. And we close the gates of heaven. How? Not because we necessarily do that, but every time they choose not to believe our witness, our testimony, heaven is closed to them at that point. Do you see how the keys work? By presenting the gospel. And before we present the gospel, dear friends, let's do that preparation, because it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the good news that FGA is on planet Earth. It's the good news of the kingdom, that the Lord Jesus Christ died in your place and he's given you a way of escape from the wrath to come and granted you a place in his kingdom, the soon coming kingdom. That's the good news, right? But if somebody chooses and consistently chooses to reject that, they themselves are excluding themselves from the kingdom. So let's use this time, preparation, spending that time in prayer. Yes, but I'm busy. You don't know my circumstances. Actually, I've got my own set of circumstances that I have to overcome, so I'm not completely devoid of understanding. But what are you going to allow to stand between you and the kingdom? Amen? What is important to you? What is your priority in this? Because I know you'll find time to go rambling on a weekend. You'll go and find time to go for a nice long walk. I know you'll find time to indulge your hobby. And I know you'll find time to sit in front of the TV. I'm not going to condemn you for any of those things. I'm just saying, do not say that you haven't got the time for it. It's not the time, it's the attitude. It's just acknowledge the fact that you don't really want to do it, or that there's fear, or that there's unbelief, or that you're allowing these distractions. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why is the enemy attacking like this? Of all the things he attacks, it's prayer, isn't it? And that should tell us something. That should give it away. So, beloved, you know, friends forever, let me talk to you like this, because when we spend this time in prayer, preparing, seeking God, practicing what it is to experience God's presence, hearing that still small voice of the Spirit, hearing the prompting of our own enlightened spirit, which is so important, as we begin to walk in this, we then develop that authority. We then begin to see the weapons that God has given us actually working like God says they would. And I go back again, dear friends, as we allow the Spirit to lead, that empowering, Praise God, that leading. You see, what is the anointing for? It speaks of separation. We're separated unto, and I keep going back to that, don't I, in my messages. It begins with our separation. It begins with the affections of the heart. Right? Now, how have we responded to what has been said today? I've just said it's going to get worse. Okay. Get before God. As we look to Him, do you know, we will not lose our joy. We will not lose our peace. There's no need to get troubled or anxious or frightened. And the reason we give in to these negative feelings is because we haven't spent that time in God's presence in prayer. The anointing will quicken our faith. But dear friends, God isn't going to anoint us if He knows that we're not going to use, or you know, use those weapons, or use those keys for His purpose. He'll only anoint us with that power if He can trust us with it. Do you understand that? Do you see what we're saying here? So as we first give Him our lives, as we yield to Him, and spend that time in prayer, still yielding to the Spirit. Sometimes we'll be praying aloud in tongues, sometimes warring, sometimes just waiting, listening. Be led by the Spirit. He will show you. Then we can start talking about anointing, authority, faith, and binding and loosing. It's being led by the Spirit. And as we do this, each individual, you know, and husbands and wives, you have a great opportunity of working together in this, but you should also have your individual walk as well. So that when we come together as an assembly, that anointing is there to deal with things that God is revealing. Do you see what I mean? So it's not left to just one or two, but we're all involved in this. And that is where the power is. That as one man, we approach the throne of God. As one man, we overcome the enemy. The devil laughs at theology, at good ideas, at human puny efforts at philosophy. But when he sees a man or woman on their knees, consecrated before God, praying and storming the heavens in prayer, that's what makes him tremble. That's what he's afraid of. That's the one thing he's going to stop. He'll let you spend 5 hours listening to your theology if you can stand it. Do you know what I mean? If you have the capacity to study for 5 hours, he'll let you do it. But if you use that time in prayer and effective warfare, he'll do everything he can to try and stop you. I wonder why. I wonder what the simple message there is. Praise God. Praise God. Now, theology, I'm all for theology. That's truth. You know, we're looking at the armour, aren't we? The girdle of truth. But he's not as afraid of those who know their theology as those who know how to pray. Praise God. He gets upset, he struggles, he fights, he targets those who've understood principles of warfare. Those who know what it is to pray in the Spirit, to bind, to loose, to use their authority to deal with the things, his lies, the lies that he's established in people's hearts and minds. Praise God. So I'm going to leave that there. I hope that message has become clear, that with all that God is revealing, the armour, the breastplate of righteousness, his gift of righteousness that protects our heart. Satan, we've looked at this over weeks, haven't we, that Satan cannot condemn us, so our heart is protected. The helmet of salvation, that means the helmet of deliverance, to protect our minds. As we saturate our minds daily with the word of God, it protects us, it keeps us from the lies of the wicked one. And that wonderful sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it's the sword that pierces not only the soul and spirit, but also divides the powers of darkness. not a metal sword, it's a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But it's only in prayer that we learn how to use these things. It's a supernatural foe that needs a supernatural weapon to defeat him. It began at the cross, and the Spirit is now working that in our lives, in us, and then through us. Dear friends, beloved, this is a time of preparation so that the work he does in us will then be seen, and he can then do a work through us, and we will reap a harvest. We will reap that harvest. We will reap that remnant. Praise God, because we've learned to become sensitive to his Spirit through our time of prayer, as we've sought him through our trials. It's very easy now in this country to go to the arm of flesh and get help. And okay, that's what it is. But we're not going to learn anything by doing that. Don't rush out and try and do this in your own strength. If you still need your pills, if you still need, but don't sit back and fall asleep on God in this time. Begin to use this time to prepare. Just consecrate a time of prayer in the Spirit, committing your situation to the Lord, and you'll begin to find, as your faith builds up, you'll know when to start to act your faith, when to continue to walk in faith, not trusting in the arm of flesh, not trusting in man, but looking totally to the blood of Jesus, to the atonement, to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Praise God. So my sheep hear my voice, don't they? Some people hear it, some people don't. We don't give up. We can pray. We pray one for another. We're all at different levels. And God will open our eyes. There's coming a time, friends, you know, though that there will come a time of separation that will be seen. So this is now a great opportunity, as I keep stressing, and I really want to use this time to prepare. Get before the Lord and ask him to show you of these things, to reveal these things to you. Faith does not happen overnight. You can't get mountain-moving faith overnight. It comes each day as we spend that time in prayer, practicing, yielding, and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. God bless you, brethren. Thank you. God be with you and bless your week. And lean into his presence. That's my greatest prayer for you all this week, that he would truly lead you into his presence through prayer. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.